Amen. Well, hey, good morning, Creekside family. Hey, my name is Ben Clausen, and man, what a fun morning to get to be a part of with you guys. That was amazing. I'm so happy to be here. If we haven't met yet, I actually joined the Creekside family a couple of months ago to lead the college ministry, which has been so fun. So if you're keeping notes, that means, yes, that I replaced a guy named Ben who moved to Anderson, and there's a new guy named Ben who's leading the college ministry at Southwood, so we're all Bens. It's easy to remember. But seriously, so happy to be here with you guys. Like a lot of you here in this room even, I'm just a young married guy who I married my wife Hannah a couple of years ago, and it's been super fun. We quickly brought into this world our first son. He's our pride and joy, just had his first birthday, and he's a mini Australian shepherd named Archie. And so just, you know, young family things. And it's just seriously really good to be here, a part of the Creekside family. It's so fun. And in fact, it reminds me of the time that I joined a different family, specifically the Aggie family that many of you were a part of. Thanks for the whoops. Yeah, come on. And I remember when I first came to A&M a few years back, you know, back in 45, one of the first things that I noticed when I got here was at Texas A&M, there was a beautiful mix of both diversity and unity. Diversity and unity. I mean, if you just look around in the classes, I remember really quickly, I started meeting a huge number of people from countries that I hadn't even heard of. Countries on the far end of the world, people who had accents and spoke languages I'd never heard of. It was amazing seeing the diversity on our campus. And then if you just think about, I don't know if you've ever read through all of the list of degrees that you can get at Texas A&M, but they're diverse. Like, I know a lot of people who strap up in suits and get an accounting degree and go work for one of the big four. And then in our college ministry, we've got a girl named Tori who got a poultry science degree, chicken science. And then one of my friends is applying for the master's program in soil science here. We have a dirt science degree. So it's amazing. There's so much diversity, but at the same time, there's so much unity in this body. There's so much unity at Texas A&M. When you walk into a football game, you notice it quickly. I know, I'm sorry that I'm using a football analogy today. Oh, yuck. But you notice it when you walk into a football game. There's just a sea of maroon. And then down on the field, there are these little guys in white who start waving their arms around. And then all of a sudden, everyone's on their knees and you're like, what is happening? And everyone's like, rah, 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 A&M, whoop! And you're, what is happening? I don't even know what this is. It's a beautiful thing. It's unity is what it is. And then you go to another town. And if you're an Aggie, you might have had that distinct experience where someone sees that Aggie gold on your finger. And in that moment, it doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter where you came from. It doesn't matter what you've seen, what you've done. You're a member of the Aggie family in that moment. And it makes perfect sense to say, hey, what year are you? So hopefully you've had that experience. But regardless, as a part of the Aggie family, there is a beautiful mixture of both diversity and unity. Diversity and unity. And the good news today is we're journeying through a sermon series that we've been walking through as a church family called Built Together, where we look at all of the various illustrations or metaphors that the scriptures use to describe the family of God, the church. We've seen last week how we're the temple of God, and this week specifically, we are gonna see that we are all a part of the body of Christ. And as a part of that body, there's a beautiful mix of both diversity and unity. Diversity and unity. It's amazing. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, just take a minute. I'm serious. And look around you. There's a beautiful mix of people from all ages and from different ethnic backgrounds and who have different facial structures and vocations and giftings. It's amazing. But at the same time, we all share the one unifying piece, which is Christ Jesus. What would bring all of us into a room except for Jesus? It's amazing. We're both diverse and unified, and we need each other. Just as a human body, just as my eye needs my hand, so this body needs each other. It's amazing. But the reality is that so many of us are tempted to live and act otherwise because of two things that we fall into, two traps that we fall into. First trap is the trap of self-deprecation. We say, I'm not gifted. I don't have a gift. That's why they have these people who get up on stage and speak and sing songs, or I'm just not gifted. I have no place here. Or the other trap is the trap of self-sufficiency on the opposite end of the spectrum. We think, I'm so gifted and I don't need anybody else. I don't need anyone. I can do this thing on my own. I'm gonna charge that hill. You can join me if you want, but I'm gonna charge it regardless. We fall into the traps of both self-sufficiency and self-deprecation. But the beautiful truth of the gospel today flips both of those ways of thinking on their head. Today, we're gonna see how in the body of Christ, there's a beautiful mix of diversity, different gifts, but also deficiency alone. We're gonna see that we're interdependent. And it's an amazing truth. So if you've got a copy of the scriptures, please join me in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians 12 is where we're gonna be today. And as you're turning there, here's what you need to know about the Church of Corinth in the first century. Matt introed this a little bit last week, but in the Church of Corinth, let me just tell you, it was a mess. It was a complete mess. Conflict was tearing apart the church. It was ravaging the church. People had spiritual gifts, which, spoiler alert, we all do, but they were using those spiritual gifts to elevate themselves above other people. They were elevating themselves above other people. And speaking in tongues was a really popular thing at that point, but people were speaking in tongues over each other. Be like if all of us were speaking in tongues, but over each other, louder and louder and louder. It was crazy. It was chaos. So in the midst of their conflict and chaos, the Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, looks right in and provides a message of life forward. He provides a message of hope and life, and he shows us two things that we need to understand about the body of Christ. Two things that we need to understand about the body of Christ, starting in verse 12. Let's read it. Verse 12 of chapter 12. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all of the members of the body, though many, are one body, that was a sentence, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized, cool word today, into one body, Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of the one spirit. The first thing that the Apostle Paul shows us is that we are parts of the body. He says we are parts of the body. And it's why he does this pretty crazy alliteration thing in verse 12. You're like, what is that sentence even saying? Here's a breakdown of what the sentence is saying, which just shows how much he wants to drive the point home. There's one body. The body is one. But as a part of the body, there are many members. There are many members, he says again, but one body. He's teaching us this idea that I introed at the very beginning. There's both diversity and unity within the body of Christ. There's both. But then he gets really specific about who he's speaking to in the next verse. He gets really specific. Who's he talking to? He's talking for the people who in one spirit were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and we're all made to drink of the one spirit. All made to drink of the one spirit. He's showing us that we are parts of the body, but specifically we are parts of the body if we've been baptized into the body, if we've drank of the Spirit. And there are several different types of baptism in the scriptures. He's not talking right here about water baptism. He's talking about the spiritual baptism that you receive when you trust in Christ. And that's why he uses the language of drinking of Christ as well. It parallels language that Jesus used in John chapter 4 when he spoke to this woman at the well, the Samaritan woman at the well. Some of you know the story, but just in the middle of her hurts and her really hard background, Jesus said this to her. Everyone who drinks of this water, he's referring to the water of the well, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I'll give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. What he's saying is that all of us will be trying to quench an unquenchable thirst our entire lives. We'll be looking for satisfaction, for salvation in Christ Jesus our entire lives, and we can never find it by ourselves. We can never find it on our own. But Jesus saw that problem, and like we just celebrated, like Dusty just shared, Jesus took on flesh. As you turn the pages from Malachi to Matthew, you see Jesus became a human, took on flesh, and lived the life that we can never live. But then he died the death that all of us deserved. But as the story goes, 3 days later, in a literal historical event, Jesus rose, conquering the grave in victory 3 days later, holding the keys to life and death, saying he is the way, the truth, and the life, and that no one comes to the Father except through him. And the message that he's providing here is when you drink of what I provide, It's a well welling up to eternal life. It's a beautiful thing. You can only find salvation in Jesus Christ. So right here, right now, he's speaking to the people who have found salvation in Christ Jesus, who believe that message that I just shared. So if you're in here and you're like, I don't believe that, then let me just point out to you that he wants you to, that we want you to, that this is an amazing passage that points to the amazing body of Christ. And it's a body that loves to add members. It's a body that loves to add members. So seriously, this is an amazing message. But for those of us who have trusted in Christ, here's what he's saying. Here's what he's saying about the church. Look at the end of verse 13 one more time. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, and all were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but many. He's showing us that, yeah, we're parts of the body, but that body is diverse by design. The body is diverse by design. It's the only place that Jews and Greeks, slaves and free, Republicans and Democrats, Houstonians and Dallasites, Aggies and Longhorns, and people from all different socioeconomic classes and ethnicities and tribes and tongues and nations can come and dwell in the safety that comes with a relationship with Christ. In a polarizing world, this is a refuge of unity. It's amazing. That's what he's saying, that we are diverse by design. We are diverse by design. But there's more than that. He also says that we're different by design. We're both diverse and different by design. Here's what I mean when I say that. Look how he goes on in verses 15 through 20. 15 through 20. If the foot should say, so note, this is a foot speaking. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. And if the ear should say, now we have an ear speaking. If the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that wouldn't make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, that sounds ridiculous, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God has arranged all of the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. If the body were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The Apostle Paul is showing us we are different by design. And in order to do that, he pulls out an old favorite literary technique, personification. We love personification. And he personifies first a frustrated foot who just wants to be a helpful hand. And then an envious ear who just wants to be an enjoyable eye. He's saying, how ridiculous is that? It's so ridiculous. He's saying, imagine how ridiculous the facetious situation is that where your ears belong, there are two like bonus eyes looking out. Or where you're meant to have five fingers, you've got five bonus toes. Well, that one's less weird. Ears, you've got ears, five ears. It'd be weird, it's unnatural. It's unnatural. This is the point he's driving home through this ridiculous illustration. It is unnatural for members of the body of Christ to both wish that they were something that they are not and neglect their own usefulness. Let me say that one more time. It is unnatural for members of the body of Christ to wish that they're something that they were not and neglect their own usefulness. And just look at how Paul finishes. He talks about how this all came to be, verse 18. As it is, God arranged the members of the body, each one of them as he chose. He's saying that we are all a part of the body, a body that's different and diverse by design and a body that needs you. So if self-deprecation is the name of the game for you, if you're like, I can't serve here or there because they have people for that. They have gifted people for serving. Let me just point out the truth of this passage that it speaks directly to all of us. It speaks to all of us and it says that you are gifted. The body needs you. You are gifted. The body needs you. And it reminds me of one of the most frustrating things that I've had to deal with in my own personal life. I've had this issue for about 10 or so years in my left eye, where occasionally, like once a week, these splotches just start to appear. These black splotches just start to appear in my eye. And I know it's happening. I'm like, uh-oh. And then all of a sudden, my whole left eye is just all black. It's clouded over. I can't see anything out of it. It's a crazy kind of situation. I'm blind, and the doctors have tried to diagnose what it is in this weird left eye. They call it an ocular migraine, whatever that means, but it highlights the truth of this passage to me because when it starts to happen, I realize I really, really need that body part. I really, really need that eye. It's very important to the functioning of my body. I could like make up for it. Lots of people have an issue of partial blindness. They make up for it. The other body parts compensate. But I don't want to have to deal with that. I really, really need that body part. And listen, it is just the same with this body. It is just the same with this body. We need each other. We need each other. The body needs each and every one of us. I mean, just think about how it's true at this local church, at Grace Bible Church Creekside. Imagine with me if Matt Morton were the only person on staff or volunteering. Who would make his slides work? The body needs Elliot Mattson and Bryce Thomason and the guys in the back. But imagine if the church was just them. Who would take care of all of your 7 kids? The body needs Whitney Creole and Jen Chalmers and all of you kids volunteers. The body needs you. But if it were just you, who would open the doors on Sunday mornings? The body needs Chris and Sarah Taylor to lead the volunteer team. But imagine if it were just them, who would spiritually shepherd the church? The body needs our elders. The body needs the Borskis and Putts and Stimsons and Bloomsteads and the multitude of deacons behind them. But if the body were just them, who would hang out with our college students? And who would show the junior high kids how to operate in the world? And who would lead the Bible studies? And who would make sure that we have the necessary finances to pay the bills? And who would make sure people are invited to the church? And who would sing the songs from the stage? And who would take the gospel into the needy parts of the city? And on and on and on. Church, the body needs each other. And more specifically, the body needs you. The body needs you. The body needs each and every one of us. So to drive this point home, I want to ask us all actually to say something together, to say something together. I'll say it first, and then I'd love for all of us to just repeat this that it might drive home in our heads and in our hearts. I'll say it, and then we'll all say it. I am gifted. The body needs me. Let's all say it together. I am gifted. The body needs me. You guys sounded good. Let's just do it one more time. I am gifted. The body needs me. That is so true. That is the truth that this passage is pointing out. So the question that I have for all of you is this. Are you playing your part? Are you playing your part? This is a great follow-up question. If the body needs you, then the question is, are you playing your part? Are you an active member of the body? It's unnatural when a member of the body hangs limp. If I wanted this right arm to do things and it just wouldn't, that'd be weird. And this isn't a message of guilt. It's a message of invitation. What a great opportunity to take a first step and to become an active part of this body. We've got a couple of practical ways you can do this. Next week, there's a membership class happening here at Creekside if you're interested. If you believe in Christ, you're a part of the body of Christ. But if you do the membership class, you're an official member of Creekside's campus. So that happens next week. If you need childcare, the deadline to register is today, but you can register all week. Would love for you to become a member. Or if you want to take a next step of service with Grace, we have featured a page on our website and our app that you can go to right now that Gavin is helping us know where to go. That points to, thanks, Gavin. If you click on that, there's a spiritual gifts survey, and there is a form that you can fill out to see all of the ways that you could possibly serve here at Creekside. So are you playing your part? And if you would honestly answer yes to that question, if you feel like, Ben, don't ask me to do anything else. I'm already a kids volunteer in a women's Bible study and leading all of these discipleship groups. If you're there, then here's the question I have for you. Who can you help become a member of the body or play their part in the body? Who can you help become a member of the body or play their part in the body? Is there someone at your gym or your office or in your classes that's just one invite to church away from trusting in Christ? Who can you help become a member of the body? Or is there a good friend of yours you've been attending with that just needs a little invitation to your community group, to your Bible study, to your Tuesday morning guys group at 6 a.m. here? Or is there someone that you can kindly encourage? Hey, I'd love to see you serving in a deeper way. You should apply as a college Bible study leader, or you should apply as a kids volunteer or a greeter. Who can you help play their part in the body? We all love to hear these kind of messages where we're like, yeah, I am gifted. You're so right. I am gifted. I should serve. But this passage also points out another really integral piece. It shows us that, yes, we are diverse and different by design, but it also shows us that we are deficient by design alone. we are deficient by design alone. Look at how this passage goes on. We're going to be in verse 21 is where we're going to pick it up. Verse 21. The eye cannot say to the hand, I is speaking now. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are, big word, indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our most presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Don't miss this part right here. That there may be no division in the body. That there may be no division in the body. He showed us already that we are parts of the body, but now he's showing us that we are parts of the body. See the change of emphasis? He emphasized we are parts of the body. Now he's showing us we are all part of a greater body. We're part of a greater body. There is great unity in our shared identity as this one body. There's great unity in our shared identity. And look how he explains it. He shows us that the eye can't tell the hand, I don't need you, because he does. The eye needs the hand. And the head can't tell the foot, I don't need you. But on the contrary, those members that seem to be weaker, less honorable, are the most honorable. Are the most honorable. They possess the greatest dignity. He's showing us that there is no such thing as a lesser member. There is no such thing as a lesser member. What an incredibly dignifying message. Hopefully some of you need to hear this message today because you maybe feel like a lesser member. But it's so true. There is no such thing. There's great equality in the body of Christ. I mean, look how 19th century commentator Charles Hodge describes this. He says the least attractive gifts are just as important. As in the human frame, the heart is more important than the tongue, so in the church, the gift of prayer is just as important as eloquence. Those who behind closed doors, however obscure, wrestle with God, often do more for his glory and the advancement of his kingdom than those who fill the largest space in the public eye. What would the tongue do without the lungs, which are neither seen nor heard? Showing us that there is no such thing as a lesser member. As guys and girls who get up here and sing songs are maybe the ones that you see more often, hands or something, I don't know. But you guys are the heart. Come on. Hearts are so important. He's showing us that there is no such thing as a lesser member. We need each other. And why does he say it? Why does he say it? I pointed out this verse at the end of verse 25. He says it because God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it. Verse 25, that there may be no division in the body. That there may be no division in the body. He does this to promote unity. He does this to dispel the pride of the self-sufficient members and to dispel the insecurity of the self-deprecating members, to show all of us that there is great unity in our shared identity. There's great unity in our shared identity. We are all a part of this one body. There's great unity in our shared identity. It's unnatural when members think that they're not useful or they turn in against each other in division. I remember in junior high, we were playing a scrimmage on my football team. Played football in junior high. And there was one day that one of my good friends was like having a really bad game. Really bad game. And he knew it. And he was kind of a hothead. And we started, things got worse and worse and worse. But we were scrimmaging against our own team. And I remember there came a point at the game where he had just played so bad and someone said something. And then all of a sudden, these two guys, same team, are wailing on each other, taking each other down. Junior high kids, come on. Next thing you know, the coach comes over and he says, you're on the same team. What are you doing? How unnatural is it when division and strife exist within the same team? Let me ask you the more convicting question. How much more unnatural is it when division and strife exist within one body? How much more unnatural when division resides in the walls of the church? When strife threatens to tear us apart? When we elevate ourselves over each other? Or we think, I'm not useful here. When we think, I'm not useful here, how much more unnatural. You're on the same team. There is great unity in our shared identity, and we're all a part of the same body. We're all struggling and so many of the same things. We're all humans. What a comforting message. We all know, God, we're all trying and stumbling through following God. I often, as we all often, stumble through loving our neighbor as ourself. Wow, it's hard. We all are disappointed by things and encouraged by things, find life in things, become so dulled by things. We're all a part of the same body, the body of Christ. We're all a part of the same body. As this series would say, we're built together. We're built together. So as one body, let's see the practical advice that the Apostle Paul gives us, the practical advice that the Apostle Paul gives us at the end of these verses. Let's see what he and the Holy Spirit have to say. This is jumping back in verse 25, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another, the same care for one another. He's pointing out this specific word. A different translation, the NET translates it as mutual concern. You might have a different translation there, but the idea is this. The same way that I care for myself, I care for other members of the body. The same way that I care for myself, I care for the other members of the body. That's why it says same care, mutual concern. That's a lofty, bold idea. That is hard. But what's it look like? He shows us in the next verse. How do we have the same care for one another? Look at the next verse. He says, if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. He's saying in the high, sunny mountaintops of life, the body's meant to be there rejoicing. And in the low, dark valleys of life, both of which inevitably exist, the body is meant to be there sharing in suffering, in the rejoicing and in the suffering. This past weekend, even the past 48 hours, I saw this exact idea play out as I walked through some high mountaintops and some low valleys with some people I love. My sister this weekend celebrated the height of joy as an Aggie. She got her Aggie ring. I got to give it to her. And that, man, that was the height of joy. It was amazing, so exciting. But then that same day, I went to the funeral, the memorial service of an infant. A good family friend who actually were a part of Grace Bible Church lost a baby. But then this morning, we got to jump to another mountaintop and celebrate the joy of baptism, the joy of salvation and life abundant in Christ. But what stands out to me about all of those situations is in every single one of them, surrounding in the rejoicing and in the suffering was the body of Christ. At my sister's ring day, celebrating with her in the honor of achieving so much at this university, were all of her friends from Grace. All of her friends from Grace, the body of Christ was surrounding her. And then at the memorial service on Friday morning, I saw hundreds of people from Grace Bible Church show up and shower this couple with love. And then this morning, here we all are. We got to celebrate the joy and celebration of baptism. People coming out of the water and conquering. It was amazing. The body is meant to care for one another. So the question I have for you is, how this week can you share in sufferings and how can you share in honor? More specifically, how this week can you have the same care for other members of the body? How can you have the same care for other members of the body? How can you share in the sufferings and the honors? How can you encourage other gifts of other members that you see in the church? I don't know if that looks like grabbing the person that leads your community group and saying, hey, I see your hospitality and I'm so thankful for it. Or I don't know if that's high-fiving Dusty on the way out because he's just killing it and making so much happen here, or telling Rob he sounded extra good today, which he did, or telling people who serve behind the scenes that they are amazing, and you know that their gifts are often unseen, but you see them and you're so thankful for them. I don't know what you could do, or maybe it's buying a $5 gift card for that kids volunteer who cares for your rambunctious 3-year-old every single week. I don't know what you can do, but this week, how can you have the same care for other members of the body? How can you have the same care for other members of the body? In college ministry right over there, which you should totally stop by sometime, God's doing some amazing things. We have been writing these I will statements, statements that we say, this week, I dedicate myself to doing this. I will do this this week in response to the passage, the truth of this passage. I dedicate myself to do this. So this week, what is it that you will do to have the same care for other members of the body? How will you do it? I'll close with this one story. I remember a few years ago, I'm from a city called Baytown, Texas, Southeast Houston. And Baytown, actually, if you don't know, if you've never been, is 600 feet below sea level. That's an exaggeration, but it's a really low place. And a few years ago, that combination was paired with a little storm called Hurricane Harvey. And it was a really, really ugly situation. So I remember I was already living up here in College Station, but several of my friends said, hey, we're gonna go home and serve the other members of our church body that we grew up in, this church that we grew up in. We're gonna go serve them because so many of them flooded literally up to their second story. So I remember driving home and I called my parents, said, where should I go? And they just told me the address of some fellow church members who were part of that church that I grew up in. And I remember I showed up to this church or to this house and walked in the door, and there are people everywhere from the church I grew up in. They were so happy to see me, and they were ripping out drywall from the walls. They were yanking up carpet and hammering on old hardwoods and blow-drying pictures that were left in the carnage and vacuuming up dirt everywhere. And they would do this, and this was sort of the image that you would see everywhere. It was horrific. And then they'd hop in the bed of a truck and drive to the next house, repeat all day long. And I remember at one point, as I was riding in the bed of one of those trucks, surrounded by members of this church body that I had grown up in, this verse came to my mind: if one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member suffers, all suffer together. And it was this beautiful picture of what sharing and suffering looks like as a part of a body. And I just want to leave you with this simple question. Creekside, what do you think it would look like if this same spirit, the spirit of same concern, covered our body, covered the body of Christ here at Grace Bible Church Creekside? What do you think it would look like if encouragement was our first language? What do you think it would look like if every time people walked in the doors of Creekside, they walked into a family reunion that they were invited to? What do you think God could do with our lives? What do you think God could do with our neighbors' lives, with our friends' lives, person sitting to your right and left in their life? If you had the same concern for them as you do for yourself, what do you think God could do in our lives, in our city, in our nation, and in our world if we had the same care and concern for others as we do for ourselves? If we really truly believed, I am a part of the body, I'm needed, this body needs me, and we remembered that I am a part of the body, the greater body of Christ, there's great unity in our shared identity. So let's pray and ask God for his help. Lord, it's so true. We need your help. We can't do this on our own. We just really, really need you. So God, I just pray that you would equip our hearts and our heads to believe this message, to believe that we are valuable parts of the body, and to believe that we're a part of something much greater than ourselves here. And God, I pray that you would help us this week to go over the top and showing love and acts of unity and same concern for other members of this body. I pray that this would be a week in the life of the Creekside family that all of us just feel so stirred on toward loving one another and affection for one another. God, I pray that you would do amazing things in the walls of our church, in this city, in our neighborhoods, in our homes on Wednesday nights when we go to Bible studies. God, I pray for you to do amazing things, and as a result, people would see, hear, and decide to follow Jesus. God, thank you so much for the gift of knowing you, of following you. We just pray for your help, Holy Spirit. Please help us. God, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the scriptures. We pray all of this in your name, Jesus. Amen.